Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for joining me today for the big reveal that 3,600 is the new 10K. This is great news for all of us wellness wishers and warriors. So listen in today as you're getting your steps in, and before you know it, you will have reached the magic number. This is the Wishing You Well podcast, and I am your host, Maria Patrick, health coach and Qigong instructor. I'm always looking for stories in the news which will help us to reach our wellness goals so we can live longer, stronger, and better. And when I find a story which is inspiring, I bring that to you as well. Today we're talking about the University of Buffalo study that was recently published that said that getting 3,600 steps per day will reduce your risk of getting heart disease by a whopping 26%. And even better news for some may be the fact that the steps you count don't all have to be from formal exercise. Moving around as you are living your life counts too. This study may surprise you because it's radically different from what we've grown accustomed to, and that's that 10,000 steps is what you need to reach and not one step less. If your pedometer is regularly clocking in at 10,000 steps every day, I'm not here to tell you to stop doing that. Keep on keeping on. But if you are discouraged because no matter how hard you've tried, your smartwatch can't seem to hit 10,000, we now know that that recommendation wasn't based on science, and there is evidence that there are many health benefits of walking less. For example, walking just 3,000 steps per day has been shown to increase longevity. Power walking for 4 to 5 minutes a day may decrease your risk of cancer. And this is one that I talk about a lot. Walking for 2 minutes after meals will help stabilize your blood sugar. Other research suggests that just 10 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per day may help prevent cognitive decline. Ask yourself this, has this ever happened to you before? You go for long stretches of time believing so strongly in something until you are encouraged to look at it in a different way. Then we're forced to face whether what we believe and have believed for so long is fact or fiction. I lived practically my entire life believing that it wasn't safe to swim for at least 30 minutes after eating, until I found out that that was nothing but fake news. My sisters and I truly believed what our parents had told us, which was that after you eat, your blood gets diverted to your gut so that you can digest your meal, which they told us meant there would be no blood flowing through our arms and our legs, and that we would very likely drown if we went in the water right after we finished eating our lunch. All those years of unnecessarily counting down the minutes. And we know now that there's really no scientific basis for that recommendation, but rather it was something that was promoted during a severe lifeguard shortage to accommodate the lunch breaks of the lifeguards in order to have enough coverage to keep everyone who was swimming safe. How about this one? Fact or fiction? If you go outside in the cold weather without a coat or with wet hair, you'll get sick. This is another one I was convinced to believe for years. There's no doubt that when there are drops in temperature, it can cause discomfort for you, especially if you're not dressed properly. But the only thing that can cause a cold would be a bacteria or virus, not the weather. Some of the facts are that it is true that colds and flu are more common in the winter, and also that viruses and respiratory infections survive better in lower humidity and in lower temperature. Plus, when it's cold outside, people tend to stay inside in the colder months, very close proximity to one another, which makes it easier to catch illnesses. So, while the cold weather may encourage behaviors that make it easier to get sick, the weather itself is not to blame. So if you run out of the house with wet hair or without a coat, the only thing you're going to get is chilly, not sick. Here's another one, fact or fiction. If you've been loading up on garlic because you've heard for years that it will keep you from getting bit by mosquitoes, you've fallen prey to yet another health myth. The truth is, there's no evidence to suggest that eating garlic will keep the mosquitoes away from you. There was a study done in 2005 that investigated this claim and found that the participants in the study got bitten just as much as they did on the days when they didn't eat any garlic as on the days that they did eat a lot. Mosquitoes are apparently drawn to people who exhale a lot of carbon dioxide. And the larger you are, the more carbon dioxide you will exhale, which is why adults apparently get bitten more than kids do. The other things that attract mosquitoes to you are sweat, high body temperatures, and perfume, which means it's not about what you eat and more about what you do or do not do to protect yourself from mosquitoes, such as avoiding using perfumes and hairsprays, using screens and nettings to protect yourself, as well as aerosol, insecticide sprays, and repellents. Mosquitoes are also drawn to sources of water, so make sure there's no standing water near your home. So, back to 3600 being the new 10K. The study was published on February 21st of this year in the JAMA Cardiology Journal, with evidence that smaller amounts of physical activity can have big health benefits. The study was conducted of nearly 6,000 women over a period of 2 years. The women were aged in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and none of them had any history of heart failure. The women who were studied represented a large range of race and ethnicity categories. And the participants all wore an accelerometer, which is a fancy pedometer that tracks all your movement, not just your steps. The researchers followed up years after the study was done with the participants to see if they had had any heart failure symptoms and or any heart failure incidents. The major finding of the study was that the women who had a greater amount of regular, light and moderate intensity activity had significantly less heart failure over a 7-year time period. The lead doctor in the study, Dr. Michael Lamont from the University of Buffalo, explained that lighter activity could include a variety of things, such as house cleaning and self-care and caregiving, whereas moderate activity includes what you would expect, usual pace walking, climbing the stairs, doing yard work. He said that they found that 3,600 steps per day would be consistent with the amount of activity performed daily, and that even though this is fewer steps than the often recommended 10,000, that it's not practical for older women to achieve 10,000 steps. So what this means for us in real life every day is that as the population lives longer and lives to longer ages, the incidence of heart failure is very likely to increase. And when that happens, our quality of life decreases, healthcare costs increase, and obviously our longevity is shortened. So Dr. Lamont stresses that prevention is the key to dealing with heart failure in the coming years and preventing it from happen. And part of that prevention is to simply move more. He said that the study findings suggested that we should not be discouraged if we accumulate fewer steps. It's actually more important to just keep moving, to move throughout the day doing your usual daily activities, and that in and of itself seemed to help older women avoid heart failure. He said that walking appears to be a very promising component of the prevention of heart failure in older women. The bottom line is this: if your goal is to improve your fitness level and maintain a healthy weight, you're going to want to get closer to the recommended 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity exercise per week. That's what's advisable. But if you're simply looking to reduce your risk of disease, especially as you age, that the key is to move more throughout the day, and that this regular and consistent movement and trying to achieve that magic number of 3,600 steps throughout each day is what will play a starring role in the prevention of disease. And that 3,600 steps, once again, can include engaging in activities that are basically just our daily living activities, like gardening, cleaning your house, cooking. And the key is to move more by doing things like taking the stairs instead of an escalator and or an elevator, and parking farther from the store when you go shopping. The study showed that when you rack up just a mere 3,600 steps a day by engaging in these types of activities, it's enough to significantly reduce your risk of heart failure. So we should always be on the lookout for opportunities to move more, to be more active throughout the day, and to reduce our time of being sedentary. As you've heard so often now, sitting is the new smoking. The key takeaway is that people who are 60 years and older can reduce their risk of heart failure by 25% by walking 3,600 steps a day, which is just a little more than 1.5 miles. 3,600 steps is a reasonable target, and that is a number that's consistent with the amount of daily activity that were performed by the women in the study. So there you go. No more wondering, fact or fiction. 3,600 is the new 10K. We can do this, and we can even do it together. You can take me with you on your walk by listening to my podcast. There are 26 episodes posted right now for you to choose from, and each one is evergreen. What I mean by that is that the inspirational message will be new and fresh, even if it's one that I posted 5 or 6 months ago. I would love it if you would take my poll that's in the description section and tell me how you are going to get to the magic 3,600. I am going to be walking with you every step of the way. I want to thank you so much for your interest, your time, your attention, and your support. My messages are universal, which is proven by the fact that people are tuning in from all over the globe. So whether you are listening to me from Sweden or Australia, New Zealand or Africa, the USA, UK, or anywhere in between, I'm so very grateful. And as always, I am wishing you well. Thank you.